Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
In the English language, as well as in other languages, there are a number of words that are used to degrade and to demean people. And many of those words are considered coarse and crude and even vulgar. But interestingly, in English, there is a word that is freely used every day. A word that it seems is acceptable among us. Yet it is a word that is like no other word in the depth of its shameful condemnation, which perhaps makes that word even more offensive. And surprisingly, that word is the word scum. And that word can be used to describe a layer of slimy, foul-smelling film that covers the surface of the water, or covers the surface of anything, I suppose. But when that word is used to describe people, it is used to describe the worst kind of people that we can imagine. It describes the lowest form of life on this earth. People who have no value. People who are nothing. People who are the lowest of the low. And in the passage of scripture that is before us today, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 through 13, that is the word that the Apostle Paul tells us the people were using to describe the servants of Jesus Christ. They were calling them the scum of the earth. But that was not a word that was being used to describe the people in the church in Corinth. And why was that? Well, the answer to that question brings us to the point of these verses as Paul continues to address the problem concerning the people in the fellowship in Corinth. And just what was their problem? Their problem was their pride. The problem was their lack of humility. Those with true humility have an accurate view of themselves. They understand that without Christ, they are nothing. That all that they now are is because of Him. So they trust in Him. They trust in His wisdom for their lives. Those with true humility have an attitude of gratefulness for all that they have been given by the Lord. But you know, in the Greek culture and in the Roman culture of that time, at the time when Paul wrote this letter, humility was not seen as a virtue at all. In fact, it was seen as a weakness. And things have not changed very much today in our culture, have they? We still look at pride as a virtue and humility as a weakness. Yet we find that in the Bible, the men and the women that the Lord used for His work were men and women of humility. For example, in Luke chapter 5, verse 8, when Peter witnessed a miracle of Jesus, what did he do? He fell down at His feet and he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." In Luke chapter 1, verse 38, when Mary was told by an angel that she would give birth to the Messiah, what did she say? She said, "Behold, the bond slave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." And I think a good summary of this idea of humility can be found in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, where we are told this: "Do nothing from selfishness or from empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself." But sadly, the brothers and the sisters in the church in Corinth had not yet learned that lesson. They had not yet learned the value of the virtue of humility. Instead, they were full of pride. They were full of themselves. They were full of their own wisdom instead of the wisdom of God. So Paul focuses on that problem by contrasting pride with humility. So he begins in verse 6 where he says, "I have already told you how those of us who minister for the Lord are like farmers. We plant the seed of the word of God as we speak, watering that seed with sound biblical teaching. I have explained to you how we are like construction workers, building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ with things that are of eternal value. I've showed you how we are like servants. We're servants of God, diligently laboring for Him. I've also told you how we are stewards. Stewards of the message of the cross of Christ, faithfully obeying His word, faithfully bringing the truth of salvation to those who are around us. Now these things," Paul says in verse 6, "dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I have figuratively applied to myself and to Apollos," meta schematizo in Greek. "I have used these things as an illustration. I've used them as an object lesson of how a servant of Jesus Christ is to think, how we are to function, what our priorities should be, what our lives should be like. I've applied these things to us for your sakes, so that in us, by our example, you might see if your lives truly reflect these things. So that by this practical instruction, by this visualization that you see in us, you might learn something, that you might learn not to exceed huper in Greek, so you would not go beyond what is written in the Word of God. Don't take it upon yourselves to overstep the bounds of Scripture. As it says in Romans 12, verse 3, do not think more highly of yourselves than you ought to think. In order that no one of you," Paul says, "might become arrogant," phusioo in Greek, "puffed up in your mind, with an inflated view of yourselves, elevating yourselves on behalf of one teacher over another teacher, creating division one against the other." What's the point? Well, the point is this: if Paul and Apollos did not exalt themselves, then why were the people in the church in Corinth exalting them? Whose benefit was that for? Well, it was for the benefit of the people. It was so that in their pride, they could exalt themselves by identifying themselves with their favorite Bible teacher. So that they could feel superior to others in the fellowship. And so in verse 7, Paul asks them several questions to bring this truth to their attention. And so he says, who regards you as superior? Diakrino in Greek. What reason do you have to think that you are above anyone else in the church? This perspective is only in your mind. And what do you have in Christ that you did not receive from him? Your salvation? In fact, all that you have in Christ is a gift from God. And since you did not receive these things on your own, but since you received these things from him, why do you boast? Kao haomai in Greek. Why do you glory? Why do you take pride in yourselves? As if you had not received these things as a gift. You're deceiving yourselves. You think, Paul says in verse 8, that you are already filled. Koreinomi in Greek. You're satisfied with yourselves. You think that you have all of the spiritual food that you need. You do not hunger or thirst for righteousness. Just as the people in the church in Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. They thought that they were spiritually rich, didn't they? They thought that they had need of nothing. You already have become spiritually rich. You think you're spiritually rich, Paul tells them. In your minds, you have become kings without us. You think that you are now in a position of royalty, as it will be when Christ returns to this earth and he reigns for 1,000 years. Then we who belong to him will reign with him. Paul says, I wish indeed that you had become kings so that we also might reign with you in the kingdom. But that time has not yet come. Now, in contrast to the way that the believers in the church in Corinth saw themselves as having everything, that they needed nothing, beginning in verse 9, Paul tells them, we have nothing. And so I think, he says, that God has chosen to exhibit us, to display us apostles, the messengers of God last of all. Apodeknomi in Greek. He has placed us in a position where to the world we are considered as those who have no value at all. It is as if we have been bound in chains like prisoners, lapped in line in a procession that is being paraded through the streets like men who have been condemned to death on the way to the arena to be torn to pieces by wild animals. So, he says, we have become a spectacle to the world. A theatron in Greek. A show. We are publicly humiliated like captives who are on their way to be slaughtered. A spectacle both to angels and to men, to all the world, to the universe. We are laughed at. We are spit upon. We are misunderstood. We are ridiculed. We are beaten. We are murdered. To the world, we are fools for the sake of Christ. They think we are foolish men bringing a foolish message. But Paul adds in verse 10, you are prudent in Christ. Phronimos, you think that you are sensible. You think that you are shrewd. You think that you are wise. Because you make no waves. You live under the radar. Is it that you are ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is that why you don't take a stand for him? Is that why you don't live for him? We are weak, Paul says. Athenes, we are helpless. We are without strength, but you're strong in your own strength. You are distinguished, endoxos in Greek. You seek honor and glory for yourselves. While we are without honor, even to this present hour. Even to this very moment in time. Paul says this is our immediate situation. We are both hungry and thirsty. We are poorly clothed and we are roughly treated. Kolapizo in Greek. We are brutally beaten and we're homeless. We have no place to lay our heads. Still, he says, we toil. Kopiao in Greek. We labor unceasingly for Christ, even to the point of exhaustion and beyond. We labor working with our own hands, doing manual labor, which was seen by the Greeks as something only fit for slaves. And when we are reviled, lodoreo in Greek, when we're cursed and we are abused, we bless, we seek the salvation of those who curse us. And when we are persecuted, dioko, when we're hunted down like animals, we endure these things. We don't retaliate. Instead, we keep entrusting ourselves to our Lord. When we are slandered, dysphemeo in Greek, when we are falsely accused and spoken evil of, what do? We try to conciliate. We answer kindly. We have become as the scum of this earth, perekatharma in Greek, the filth, the foul-smelling refuse of an animal sacrifice, something to be scraped off and discarded. We have become the dregs of all things, peresoma in Greek. We are like criminals who have been executed and whose rotting bodies have been thrown on the garbage dump. And we experience these things, Paul says, even until now. Unlike you, we experience these things. It's not difficult to get along in this world, as long as we think like this world. It's not difficult to get along with the people in this world, as long as we act like the people in this world. As long as we don't stand up for the truth of Jesus Christ. As long as we choose not to live for him. We're just passing through this world, aren't we? This world really is in our home. And the question that we must ask ourselves is this. What will we leave behind when we leave this world? Will we leave the fragrance, the foul-smelling stench of those whose portion is in this world? Is that how we will be remembered? Is that who we are? Is that what we have become? Or will we leave behind the sweet fragrance of Christ Jesus, our Lord? Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.